Relationships. As humans, we're hardwired for them. What would it be like to have a guide to relationships that are authentic? Tap into the collective wisdom of teachers, authors, and healers who have accumulated experience on this subject. I've learned that there are overlapping soul circles of people in our lives. Family of choice. Welcome to the family.
Welcome to another Thursday night, and it's all about relationships. The music that lulls us in and out of the show is created by my friend Barry Goldstein, and you can find all of his lovely music at barrygoldsteinmusic.com. Now, since this show is about relationships, I have to tell you about an amazing, what I call cosmic coincidence that has to do with this guest and myself. After I was on her television show, she has a show based in the Philadelphia area called Storytime and Show and Tell with Miss Ruth. We developed a connection right away. Within about a week or so, I was having breakfast with friends in Virginia, and she texted me and says, "Who's Moshe Weinstein?" I said, "That's my father's name." It turns out that her mother and my father grew up together in South Philadelphia. So we're sort of cousins by extension. So I'm honored to have Ruth on the show. I want to tell you a little bit about her, though, before she jumps in. Sort of like playing double dutch jump rope here. So we've got to jump her in at just the right time. Ruth is a multimedia superstar is how I look at her. She's a radio and TV broadcast personality, and she produces and hosts her show that I mentioned. She's also a voiceover narrator and voiceover instructor. And you can find out about her on her website, which we'll tell you more about, ruthweisberg.com. So, Ruth, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Edie, for that wonderful introduction. When I was listening, I'm like, who is that lady? I want to know her.
Good. Well, hopefully you'll get to know yourself a little bit better tonight with our
conversation. Exactly. Yeah. Well, you don't know what you know until you're put to the test. Yes.
That's absolutely, absolutely true. So the show is about being how we're seduced by technology when we'd be better off being seduced by each other. So for some people, electronics are more intimate than flesh and blood people. How'd that happen?
I think cell phones and mobile devices are the new mistress. I think people spend more time playing with it, fondling it, looking at it, giving it attention. And meanwhile, I know that I see so many people in real life facing each other, and one person's looking down and the other person is looking forlorn. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with this scenario? So I say, put the devices down. You can tell so much more about a person and develop and strengthen those relationships when you are really rolling in acoustical time as opposed to digital time.
Oh, you are such a wordsmith. Where do you come up with this stuff? This is great. Acoustical time.
I guess I'm a cunning linguist, Edie. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that too. Incredibly punny. Yeah. So what happens in our bodies, in our minds, when we're so attached to electronics?
Well, what happens is we get we get incredibly distracted. How many times are you reading an article online and then bloop, up comes a banner or an ad or a notification? And in that momentary digital hiccup, we are distracted. We have to decide in that split second, do we go with that or do we stay focused on what we were reading at hand? And when you have this constant interruption, it's like a digital toddler. Somebody's always going, nee, 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 and pushing you and distracting you. And it's really hard to focus and to stay attuned to your task, whether it's reading, whether it's making a connection, whether it's writing. And how can we be authentic to ourselves and anyone around us when we're constantly being distracted and just sidelined by so many of these other interruptions? And I think it's cumulatively a really negative effect on our attention span, on our alertness, on our ability to really connect in ways that are really important and matter over the long haul.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about the idea of getting text neck and being intexticated. Can you explain what
yes,
those are?
Yes, I do. Well, when you're in good alignment, when you've got good posture, you know, you're shaped like a capital I, let's say. And when you develop that crooked text neck, I see so many people slumping in their seats. They look like a human question mark, as it were. So they're compromising their spine, their posture, their oxygen inflow, and circulation is compromised. And you get cranky and you get nudgy and you get like fidgety because you're not giving yourself the oxygen and you're you're not giving yourself the proper posture that you need to be fully present and to be fully alert. And I think that's a woeful side effect of all this addiction to our technology. So I call that text neck. As for being intoxicated, and I'll do this just to play with people. If I'm with someone and they're on their phone suddenly because they've decided that whatever is notifying them is more important or urgent than what we're talking about, I'll just randomly say something just to see if they're listening. Like, oh, yeah, I set a building on fire and I robbed a bank this morning. Like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's great. They're not listening. They're not responding.
Right.
Or how many times
right.
it happens to you, but you're on your device. You're like, just a minute. Yeah, I can hear you. And they really can't. They can't focus and listen. You know, maybe our devices can multitask and have many windows open, but our brain can only handle so much at the same time. And I think the woeful side effect of that is nothing is quality and nothing gets done. So put the stuff down. Whatever is in there will remain there. I remember being at 30th Street Station not too long ago. It's a beautiful train station here in Philadelphia. And the river was glinting under the afternoon sun. The art museum looked like different colors of the Grand Canyon. And just that moment, the afternoon sun looked so beautiful. And I saw somebody tethered to his laptop, emotionally tethered. It was a wireless connection, but nevertheless, he was just so focused. And I interrupted his flow, and I said, not to interrupt, although I am, you're missing the most beautiful, extraordinary sunset right now. And whatever it is you're doing will be there long after the sun has gone down, but this moment will not. Now, Edie, I took a tremendous risk by interrupting him, but whatever he was doing, he could have gotten really surly or annoyed with me, and instead he slowly closed his laptop lid and said, thank you. I really needed to be bitch-slapped like that to bring me into focus. And with that, we entered into the most delightful conversation, and it was an opportunity he would have sorely missed. How many times that our new best friend or a soulmate might be right there in front of us, and yet we choose to like and share and connect in that digital realm when the heart-to-heart, the eye contact, the skin-to-skin is readily available right there. Why is that less important than our devices? It just gobsmacks me. It really does.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how wonderful. But are there positive uses for electronics? Is it something that is it that terrible evil to connect with them, or is it all things in moderation?
Absolutely. I like to say excess in moderation. So absolutely. I mean, wonderful connections have been made. I remember I lived in England my senior year of college, and somebody that I was a flatmate with reached out to me across the pond, and we've since reconnected our wonderful friendship. So, yes, people have been able to find long-lost friends, or sometimes I remember finding a wallet on the street, and I thumbed through the wallet to see if I could find a business card so I could call them, found the name, found them on Facebook, sent a message, and I said, listen, I found your wallet, and within an hour, I was returning their wallet to them, and we became friends over that experience. So, yes, there are positive ways and experience to look for information, look for friends. Yes, I think these devices are much like electricity. A little bit is good. It'll give you the light. It'll give you the warmth. Too much of it, and you can get burned and broken. So I think it's how you portion out and dole out the opportunities that these devices provide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've connected. You know, my son calls me a Facebook addict. I am on it every day, partly for promotion, but partly to see, you know, to have a window into other people's worlds, that we get to know things about people through Facebook that we might not otherwise know. I've made some precious connections with people.
I agree that, you know, it's a wonderful way to see what other people are doing. However, what makes me sad and sometimes forlorn is that they'll post a wonderful party that they're at or a dinner party and they're having a great time. And I'm thinking, where was my invitation? Why wasn't I there?
Aww.
And also, as my mother, my dear mother who knew your dad, Moish, she said, sometimes it's not Facebook. It really should be called Fakebook. Because people post and put what they put what they want you to see, what they really want you to know. I remember being at a concert. I love live music, Edie, as you know, and I love to get up and dance.
Me too.
And I just have such a wonderful time absorbing live music and expressing it through dance, with great abandon and with great brio. And I remember that it was set break, and there were a bunch of people taking the proverbial selfie. You can always tell because the arm is way out. And there's one woman who was by herself, one bar stool over. And at the very last second, just as they were getting themselves in place, she jumped into the group picture, made the typical duck face with the V in front of her as if to go, hey, you know, here I am in the group picture. And by all accounts, it looked like she was part of the group. As soon as the picture was taken, she went back to her bar stool and was very, very sad again. So the pictures don't always tell the same story. It doesn't always reveal what's really going on. Now, conversely, I have wonderful experiences with people. We'll share a bag of poly seeds on the bench, or we'll sit by the water's edge or take a walk along the river. It's a beautiful, mesmerizing exchange between friends. That doesn't have to be posted or shared with the world. Maybe what is shared between friends is good enough. And then the other thing is, how many likes and shares and hoorahs and comments do you need before you feel like your exchange or experience was validated? What is the benchmark? Or what happens is, I have a friend of mine who's an artist, and she'll post a picture of her painting, and maybe it gets 7 likes, and she's like, is that all? Is that all you thought? So, I put so much of my heart into this work, and I was really expecting more. But, of course, I like to say Facebook is like Trader Joe's, in that just when you think you figured out where stuff is, they move it on you.
They move it on
or
you.
Or they change it. Or sometimes they mess around with the algorithm, and what would be posted gets buried. So you can't always trust the technology. And you never know what will be seen or how people will respond. Honestly, Edie, most of my comments that I see on Facebook, I'm just yelling at the screen.
Absolutely. Well, but as we're talking about moving into, we're going to move into our break right now. So I'm going to let people know that they can find out about your work, and we're going to talk more about that after the break at www.ruthweisberg.com. Catch you on the other side, folks.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
It's All About Relationships is a gathering of friends worldwide. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein. Join us each Thursday night from 8 to 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. My guests are dynamic leaders in the field of human interaction, and no topic is off the table, from sexuality to spirituality to self-love. I'm a best-selling author, speaker, therapist, interfaith minister, and optimistic who sees the world through the eyes of possibility. Visit me at opti-mystical.com.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Welcome back to the next portion of It's All About Relationships. My guest is Ruth Weisberg, and we're talking about how, as individuals and as a culture, we're seduced by devices, and perhaps how we can become more seduced by life. So, Ruth, you talked to me in the past about how you start your day so that you don't jump into technology. Can you describe that for the listeners?
Exactly, Edie. I think the first hour of anyone's day really is the level setter and the intention for what will happen afterwards. Whether it goes according to plan or it goes according to plan B, which is sometimes the better plan. So even before my feet hit the ground in the morning, I've got this ritual where I rub my hands together, get some blood flow going, and I immediately begin to express what I'm grateful for. It could be the sunrise. It could be the fact that I got to see another day, or what I'm eager to accomplish that day, or just the gift of life after so many of life's trials and challenges. So that even before you get out of bed, just express gratitude. And that just sets the intention. And then after that, I like to go out on my deck and just listen to the sky. And I know that sounds a little bit weird, but I think the sky not only has color, it has sound. There's the sound of the birds, the wind rustling through the trees, or maybe the sound of the rain, or just the sound of the rest of the neighborhood waking up, just becoming sensitive and aware of what's going on. And then I start with a glass of hot water to which I've squeezed some lemon and some fresh ginger. And I call that Ruthie's elixir. So I start off with hot water with the lemon and the ginger. And already, I've already expressed gratitude. I've nourished my body. I've become sensitive and heightened to the sights and sounds around me. So I can become receptive and I can become responsive to come what may. And then after that, I get my day going. I do my daily meditation. I like to do my ups. My push-ups and my sit-ups, so I like to get some of that blood flow going. And then after that, I believe in writing things down. Again, a pen on paper. I don't rely on notes or electronics. And what is it that I would like to accomplish for the day, or what's on the to-do list that you'd like to accomplish, as well as a to-be list. What would I like to be? More patient, more kind, more receptive. And then also, when you allocate time for that, you get what I call your get-to-do list. So by not looking at cat videos, by not tuning into the breakfast shows on network TV, I get to do these other delicious things that people wish they could do, but they can't because of their time management skills or lack of them. So already the first hour of the day is that delicious time, thanking me for where I've come so far, where I am right now, and where I would like to go from this day forward. And then at the end of the day, I like to bookend it with gratitude. What was I grateful for? You know, what happened today that was maybe in my plan or unfolded or surprises along the way? Even a setback can be a setup. You know, maybe the train was late. Like for example, I was taking the train today to tape my TV show. The trains were running 8 minutes late. I look around and those who are on the platform are grumbling and looking down at their phones. That gave me an opportunity to stretch out or look up at the sky or just find a moment of stillness and say, I'm okay, it's safe, it's only a train, it's only a few minutes late. This gave me an opportunity to check in and reconnect. So it wasn't a curse, it was a blessing. So at the end of the day, I think it's just as important to tie your day up in a bow and to express gratitude for this day.
Wonderful. And you mentioned train, and I wanted to let the listeners know that you do something really fun on a train. Can you talk about that?
Yes, I do, Edie. Well, I'm also a voiceover narrator and a voiceover instructor. So voiceover is the radio and TV commercials, audiobooks, e-training, e-learning, distance learning, explainer videos, anywhere there's an audio component to a multimedia presentation. And so we are often sequestered in our audio caves. We're in our little recording studios, reading copy to nobody that we can see, to an audience we'll never know. So the work gets very isolating and sometimes very lonely. And my students are very eager to practice voiceover narration. So I've decided a wonderful and kooky way to get people out of the studio is to ride the train. And while we're en route riding the rails, we get to narrate the posters and billboards inside the train cars. It's a wonderful opportunity to practice cold reading skills, to connect with one another in real time, and to play with our voices. And it's deliberate that we are out in public where people can see what voiceover narration is, how much fun it is, how challenging it is, and the connections we can make with each other when reading copy. And best of all, Edie, I call it, are you ready for this? Throw drama.
I know that you
call
it. Go for it.
Throw drama from the train.
I love it.
And it is absolutely wonderful. I would like to do one for a nighttime edition where we go into the wine store and we read the wine bottles. We read the labels and we narrate because mm-hmm. many times a wine selection is based and predicated on the description of it. And that one's going to be called mm-hmm. Message on a Bottle, and I'm developing that one.
Message
now.
On a, instead of Message in a
message
Bottle.
Message on a Bottle,
I look
yes.
forward to doing it. Yeah, I was invited, even though I'm not one of your students, I was invited as a special guest, so I would love to do that. Of course, I'll write about it.
Absolutely.
It
you will have
marvelous.
A blast. Yes.
Yeah.
And
so
you know what? We can
that,
tell
that
so much
people,
about a person by the sound of their voice,
yeah.
and that is so much more
yeah.
Revealing than just typing and texting in short characters or these little emojis.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the voice. It conveys
yeah.
so much more than just the words.
Absolutely. Well, I call it fast food communication, and it's really difficult at times when you're texting or you're instant messaging on Facebook to really get a sense of what the person means. So I do my best only to make it informational, although there are times when someone is not available to speak, but there's so much that can be misinterpreted.
Oh, exactly, Edie, because nuance is lost. I remember when I was confirming lunch plans, and somebody, I said, okay, just confirming, 1 o'clock at this restaurant, and they wrote back the letter K. And I went, the interpretation is like, their K was like, okay, we're on. My interpretation was like, oh, they're not into it, or they're less than enthusiastic. So we're losing
right.
so much of the subtleties that we can get through body language and through actual tone. You know, how many times can we mm-hmm. say something with our words, but the meaning is entirely different? So I agree with you. Just
right.
use the texting just for facts. If you want emotion
mm-hmm.
and you want confidentiality, pick up the darn phone or just speak to them if
right.
you can, because so much more will be accomplished
yeah.
with that.
And there's another layer of communication, too, live and in person, and we don't always get to do that because we're so busy. And it really, it's difficult. We don't do a lot of eye contact communication.
We really
so
don't, and I think it's a generational thing because without eye contact, without proven verbal skills, which are just the base, they are the infrastructure and the foundation with which we grow our social and business relationships. And in the absence
mm-hmm.
of that, what kind of quality can we really accomplish? So I'm not here to lambast the technology. It's there for a reason. It's got its convenience. It's reason to celebrate and create relationships. But if you really want to deepen and strengthen that bond, then you really do need to get off the devices if you really want to get it on with each other. So use it sparingly,
mm-hmm.
use it with relevance, but with great caution because it can suck you down that rabbit hole. How many times do you think,
mm-hmm.
I'll just read one article and next thing you know, 3 hours
yeah.
have gone by, and how many videos have gone
yeah.
by. So it can be, in the words
yeah.
of Betty White, be a tremendous time suck.
Absolutely, it can be. And it's sort of like when you go into a supermarket with two things on a shopping list and you buy a
yes.
whole bunch of other things, but you don't get the things on the shopping list. So
that's
I totally
right.
get
like,
that.
It's like,
yeah.
how did that happen?
Yeah.
So I
yeah,
say it's all, it's like electricity. It's there, but use it mindfully and use it
yeah.
sensibly as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as we're about to close out the show, believe it or not, is there one message, definitive message you want to leave people with so that they can have a juicier, richer, more fulfilling life?
Oh, yes. I think that, human contact and eye contact and body language and skin to skin and heart to heart, I mean, that is a one-on-one connection. And in this digital world that we live in where we want to go viral, we want to have so many likes and so many shares and so many comments, also keep in mind that microbial has its merits as well instead of viral. So if you can have
mm-hmm.
a special tender moment with somebody and the whole world isn't weighing in with their comments, don't think that you're less than worthy or it was an inferior exchange. If anything, it was a deeply rich and textured one, and it does have its accolades, even though nobody is eavesdropping through that digital world that we are so, so embedded with. So trust that.
Mm-hmm.
Trust that instinct. And really, you'll be surprised and amazed in wonderful ways how the power off button is really a power on button when it comes to knowing yourself better and the people in your world.
Absolutely. Well, I am glad that you are in my world. And
oh,
folks,
likewise,
if you want to be
Edie.
Part of Ruth, my pleasure, honey. And folks, if you want to be part of Ruth's world, you go to her website, www.ruthweisberg.com. So thank you, thank you. And then next week, my guest is going to be Ryan Skinner, and we're going to be talking about taking stock of your life. And the other thing I wanted to share with you is something that I'm going to be doing to start the new year off. I'm going to be speaking and teaching on Healing Water Holistic Cruise. We're going to be going to Tortola, St. Thomas, and a private island. And it's January 21st through January 28th. And I invite you to come play, come sail away with me and a number of other healers and teachers. And you can find out about it by going to www.scott-travel.com. So until next week, I thank you, I bless you, I love you. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us on It's All About Relationships on Vivid Life Radio. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, asking you the all-important question, what does your vivid life look like? Hoping that it includes fulfilling and thriving relationships in all areas. Until next time, sending you abundant love from here.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.